Libra, my name is Tracy.
Gemini, my name is Marcy.
Libra, Tracy.
Gemini, Marcy.
We're a Libra and a Gemini. We're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini. Hey, we're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini. Right. We're a Libra and a Gemini. A Libra and a Gemini.
Peace, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast. As you can see, my other half is not here, aka Tracy. So we decided to do something a little bit different this week. We're recording apart. Tracy's going to do her segment, then I'll do mine, and then we'll end the show. So stay tuned for both of our segments. Please contact us and let us know what you think. And now, the love vibration.
Hey loves, welcome to a love vibration conversation. Today we're going to talk about letting go of fear. But before we get into that, let's talk about what the definition of fear is. The definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. Basically, afraid of something or someone. That can be stopping any of you from pursuing what you truly want to do in life. Now, I know that a lot of us have a 9-to-5, which takes up a lot of our time. And when we get home, you're tired. So you kind of don't want to put a lot of effort into something else because you're burnt out, you know, from working throughout the day. But could that also be a little bit of fear? Because if you take, now, the reason why I'm saying that is, even though you're tired, you may be getting on social media looking at all this stuff, right? On social media. Or you may be turning on the TV looking at something. That time that you turned on the TV or you're looking at that social media, you could have been focused on what you truly want to do. Building your own thing. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, you may have something to offer, right? And say you want to start a YouTube channel, but that fear kicks in and your mind starts to shoot out scenarios of, oh my God, what could happen, like judgment or failure? Well, instead of focusing on that, change your thought about it and focus on what you have to bring to the whole of humanity to help. To uplift, teach, service, etc., whatever it is. If you're very, very good at sewing and you want to teach a class, you can do a virtual class. You can do YouTube, you know, and people can pay to, you know, have a class with you. If you're a really good cook and you want to teach people how to cook, you can build a class like that. But don't allow fear to sneak in and make you not do it. Because a lot of times that's what we do. And I know for me, that has happened to me. Like, there's things in my life that I was afraid to do because I was thinking like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. It was like the fear of the unknown, basically. And I'm like, now it's like, why did I do that? Because then I feel like now I missed out on a lot of different things and opportunities I could have had. I could have been further along than where I am now, but it's okay because it was a learning lesson for me. So instead of letting that fear take over, let's change it. Let's change our mindset about it and say, you know what? And start working on like a plan, like how would I want my YouTube channel to go? How would I set it up? What will I need? Or something like that, okay? And then, you know, you write down what you want to do. Like, do you want to do cooking? Do you want to do sewing? Do you want to do, you know, teaching somebody how to create something, DIYs, makeup, all kinds of things, because you know it's all over there. And people have tutorials and stuff like that. Or if you're very knowledgeable about something like finances or even spirituality or something like that, you can make money by, you know, giving classes. There's people on YouTube that they do classes. They have their private, it's a private, like a YouTube, it's through their YouTube channel, but you have to pay privately to get the class. And a lot of people do that. And people actually take these classes. And if you have something like that to offer, you can do that. Even like life advice, if you're a good advisor, that would be something good to do and teach a class on. Just sit down with yourself and see exactly what you want to do. And to eliminate that fear, change. Remember now, change what you're thinking about it. So when you do start, or before you even start, just be like, I know I'm going to be successful. I will have a successful YouTube channel. I will have a successful cooking channel, whatever it is. Tell yourself you will. I will reach a million people, or I will reach millions of people with my knowledge, with what I have to offer, because we all have something to offer, which is a good thing. I know that even me talking about this, and it's kind of scary because, you know, you don't know what's going to take place. But I'm going to tell you, even while you're working, take that time. I'm telling you, take an hour to 2 hours out of your day when you get home, instead of getting on the TV or on social media, and start working on that. If you want to write a book, do that. Start writing your book. Start writing down your life. If that's what you feel, that your life could be a book, do that. Or you think your life could be a screenplay, start writing it down. Start laying it out. Like, you can search how to write a screenplay, how to write a book, or you can have somebody help you. Like, so once you write everything down, you can send it to somebody and they'll, you know, I think they call them ghostwriters. I'm not sure, but you can send it to them and they'll be able to get it down to how it should be laid out if you didn't want to do that part yourself. Of course, it's going to cost money, but, you know, I'm just saying, if that's what you want to do, I'm telling you, you know, don't continue to procrastinate, because that's what I did. I'm a procrastinator. But I'm better at it now. That's something I worked on. I don't procrastinate as much as I used to. It's still some in there. So that means I'm still working on it, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Sometimes with me, I know I need a little push and a little bit of motivation. That's just me though. I know that about myself. I learned that about myself. I am a creative person. I love to create. That's when I'm in my happy zone place. You know what I mean? And yes, it was scary opening up the, not scary. I shouldn't say the word scary. I really wasn't in fear of it, but I was a little nervous because, you know, opening the website for our jewelry and stuff like that. But you know what? I have always wanted to sell what I create because I do put a lot of love in it. I really do. When I'm making it, there's a lot of love, vibrational vibes that are going into anything I make. I don't care if it's a gift basket, crocheted items, or my jewelry. I do put a lot of love in it. When you're passionate about something, you're going to put a lot of love into it too. Try to get past that fear factor so you can be happier in your life. Because I was telling Marcy the other day that, or was it today? We were talking earlier this morning that I said, it's so crazy how when you work a 9-to-5 job, you really don't have the quality of life that you want. You're really not living life. You know, you're so distracted and you're always at this job from 9-to-5, like say 8 hours. And nowadays people are working 10-to-12-hour days because of low staff and whatever, or high volume of whatever it is. But people are working a lot of hours. And so that takes them away from their life and really, truly living life. And what happens is too, you barely get a chance to see your friends and hang out with your friends because what? You're tired. You don't want to do it. But then sometimes you force yourself to go. I do. Sometimes I have to force myself, like, you know what? I'm going to go because I need to get out, you know? So letting go of fear so you can do what you truly want to do in life. And that's going to be fulfilling to you. You're going to feel happier. So when you wake up in the morning and you say, I will have a successful business, I will, but you know, start writing everything down. And even before you go to bed, continue to say that, but be in the action of getting it started as well. Don't just say it and not do anything. You got to be in action. So don't be afraid to go in action. But like I said, you have to compromise. You have to sacrifice. And you have, now if you have children, make sure, you got to make sure you spend time with your children. But after you spend time with your children, maybe you put them to bed, you got to structure it somehow. You give yourself maybe at that time, depending on what time you get up for work, I don't know, you take a half an hour to an hour just really pondering on what you desire to truly do with your life in making, you know, what you want to do to make money is what I'm saying. So just let that fear go. Let it go. Start thinking positively. Don't think about, I'm going to, you know, people are going to judge me and I'm going to fail. People are going to judge you regardless. People always are judging people unless they know who they are. If they know who they truly are, they're not going to really judge. They're just going to be like, okay, you know, they're going to be happy for you. They're going to uplift you. But a lot of people are, you know, there's people waking up all over the place, which is a good thing. And they're getting to know who they truly are. But right now in the moment, you may get judged, but don't allow that judgment to make you stop doing what you're doing and your passion when you know what you have to give is quality. What you have to give is beautiful and it can help uplift, teach, service, or whatever everybody out there. So don't allow anybody to stop you from doing what you want to do. And failure. So say, for instance, you did fail. Like say, for instance, okay, this didn't go the way I really wanted it to go. Then you regroup. Don't give up. Regroup. And be like, okay, what caused this to fail? And what could I do better? Even if you have to reach out to people, you know, maybe ask questions and maybe ask questions to that person like, okay, what do you think that I could improve on? And take it as it's criticism, but you're asking them and they're not going to be like, you know, abrupt with you. And, you know, they're going to tell you in a loving way. If they care about you, they will. So take that. And then, you know, regroup and do what you have to do. Don't give up though, because sometimes it takes a minute to get to where you need to be. You know, I'm telling you guys this because I have done that where I was like, oh, this didn't work. And I gave up and I really wish I didn't do that. But that's no here nor there because I learned from that. And now it's like, you know, I keep going. If I know it's worth it, I keep going because this is what I want to do. I want to share my creations with the world. With that being said, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to me through our social media and our email address, which will be, you know, we'll let you know at the end of the show. I so appreciate you taking the time out to listen to me in regards to this subject because I want everybody to be happy. I really do, because you know, when everybody's happy, you know, that happiness, that vibration goes out into the world and then it uplifts the world. Over and over, if more of us was doing what we really wanted to do and we were happy, do you know how beautiful this planet would be? It would be so different. And we have, and I know I'm going off topic a little bit, but I always talk about love. So we need to give love. Give love to whatever you do. Give and show love to your fellow man. Of course, to your children. Do things in a loving way. Learn how to be patient with, you know, I know there's times, because we all get frustrated. I've gotten frustrated about things, but I really have learned to be patient. I had to learn that because it's like, what is the point of getting upset? I started putting love towards it. And what I mean by that is in that situation, I'm looking at it like, okay, that's on them. So I'm looking at that situation. I'm like putting love to them, giving love to it. And I'm giving love to myself because I don't want to receive what they're giving. So I put that love protection around, you know what I'm saying? That it's like I put a shield of love around me because I do not want to receive that. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't like it. I don't like it when I feel like that. Like I don't like that feeling of, you know, getting irritated. So I'm just saying, I had to talk about some love. So just keep loving you. Loving your family, your children, keep putting that love out there. Even if you're in a job right now that you don't care about, right now you're there, just give it love, but start working on what you truly want to do. And I know I may have repeated myself many times, but I want you guys to really hear me because I want everybody to truly, truly be happy in what they're doing in life and really be fulfilled. Don't allow that fear to step in and overtake that. Don't allow it. I mean, you will, you know, you will have support. Support will come to you if you need it. You know what I mean? It's like once you start putting that in motion and you're really focused on it and that's something you really want to do, they will come. Whoever you need, you will run. Let me tell you, you will run into somebody that may like, oh yeah, I have my own YouTube channel, you know, or I had my own YouTube channel, then I started doing something else or whatever. Like they will come to where something that you need and they will be able to help you. So be open. That's another thing. Be open when you're doing this process. Just don't allow that fear to take over, especially if something happens and you fail. Don't just keep going, keep going, keep growing and keep learning. Because that is the journey, is going through all of that, not the end result. You're going to get to, and I hate to say the end result because it's only to a point and then you grow some more. You know what I mean? So just stay open. Allow them to come and help you. Because people will come and help you. You're going to need it. I'm going to end this conversation now. And I bid you all love and light.
Love and light.
Did you know the sky is blue because it reflects off the ocean?
The lioness is the hunter.
The sun is the largest star.
Crystals form in earth.
Dogs can smell cancer.
Newborns don't shed tears.
Naps could save your life.
Grapes light on fire in the microwave.
Lobsters have clear blood.
Potato chips cause the most weight gain.
Did you know?
Did you know Ring Around the Rosie is a song for the plague, or is it? Most of us grew up singing the nursery rhyme called Ring Around the Rosie, but most of us don't know that this song could have originated from the plague. A normal part of our childhoods was playing rhymes, most of which had games that went along with them. Ring Around the Rosie was one of those nursery rhymes where we would all hold hands, stand in a circle, and turn while singing it. In the end, we would all let go of each other's hands and fall to the floor. This can bring back so many fond memories for us, but the truth is, this nursery rhyme is speculated to be about the plague. The plague, also known as the Black Death, or Black Plague, repeatedly swept through Europe from the 14th to 17th centuries. It is estimated that anywhere between 75 to 200 million people were killed from the Black Death throughout Eurasia and Europe between 1347 and 1351. This means that 30 to 60% of Europe's population was wiped out in just a short few years. The plague was said to have come from the fleas off the backs of the infected rats that were brought on ships to the European harbors from Central Asia. This was a time where many goods were brought along the Silk Road, apparently also the spread of disease. There are many types of plagues, but the Black Death was the bubonic plague, which symptoms such as large black boils in the groin, the neck, and armpits. The boils would ooze pus and bleed if they were opened. Victims of the plague were also said to have other symptoms before the boils appeared, like fever and chills, seizures, muscle pain, headaches, and the development of red rashes on their bodies. Ring around the rosy. Looking at the lyrics to this nursery rhyme will help us dissect it and give you some insights into how it's actually about the plague. It's important to note that there are some variations in the lyrics depending on the geographic location. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Ring around the rosy refers to the red ring that started to develop on the plague victim's skin. These red rashes that were circular would later develop into large and very painful black boils on the skin. These were normally found in the armpits, groin, and neck. Pocket full of posies stems from the lack of knowledge at the time about how diseases spread. It was believed that diseases were spread through bad smells, which means that people held bunches of flowers to their faces when going out in public to protect themselves from bad smells. Plague doctors are associated with looking quite creepy, but their masks with large beaks were actually because of this belief that diseases were spread through foul smells. The beaks of these masks were filled with flowers and other strong scents like bergamot. Ashes, ashes is said to have two possible meanings. The first meaning is that it was meant to mimic a sneeze sound in reference to being sick. The other is that it's actually about the burning of the dead bodies from the victims of the plague. We all fall down is about the many people who died from the plague. The falling down is said to represent death, and everyone falls down or dies because the majority of the European population was wiped out during the time of the plague. Did you know?
Did you know?
And now, Metaphysics with Marcy.
Peace, peace, everybody. So, on this week's Metaphysics with Marcy, I want to talk about knowledge of self, the importance of studying ourselves and understand who we really are. The way I look at it is we tend to see our identity through our status or our position in life or society, what our friends and family think, the needs and desires of our body, and also the emotional and intellectual expressions of our mind. An example, okay, I'll talk about me. I'm a mother to an amazing daughter. I have one sister and one brother, and I live in Southern California. But I rarely take the time to contemplate the real nature of my existence by asking the question, who am I? So everything I just named are things that I have, a brother, a sister, a daughter. But who is the real Marcy? Who is the real you? Ask yourself that from time to time and really like dig into it and see who you really are. Being self-aware is having a good knowledge and understanding of yourself, including being aware of your own feelings and characters. Practicing self-awareness is about learning to better understand why you feel what you feel and why you behave in a certain way. Having this awareness gives you the opportunity and freedom to change things about yourself, enabling you to create a life that you want. It's almost impossible to change and become self-accepting if you are unsure as to who you actually really are. Having clarity about who you are and what you want can be empowering, giving you the confidence to make those changes within yourself so that you can manifest the life that you want and deserve. But it all starts with having a clear understanding of your thoughts and your behavior patterns, as well
as it will help you to understand other people and why they do some of the things they do. This ability to empathize facilitates better personal as well as professional relationships when you're not just looking at me, which is important, but you're also looking at why somebody else may have responded the way they did. Because sometimes it may not even be about you. Most times it's not. When we are more self-aware, we're better at understanding ourselves. We're also better at understanding others. We are also able to identify changes we want to make and recognize our strengths so that we can build upon those attributes. Self-awareness is often a first step to goal setting. This includes admitting when you don't have the answer and owning up to mistakes. Now, not everyone can do this. It's really hard for a lot of people to say, hey, I messed up. Or you know what? I don't know. People think that when they own up to their mistakes or admit that they don't know something, it's like owning up to being wrong and that that's a bad thing. But really, it's the opposite, because now you've opened up yourself to admitting when you've done something wrong or you don't know something. And that's humility. And being able to learn what the right thing is growth. I always like to say there's nothing wrong with being wrong, because you learned something. You just learned that you can't do it that way, so let me try another way. That's always a good thing, right? Especially after relationships. Now, not just these romantic relationships, even friendships too, because those are relationships as well, right? We need to take the time to see where we could have made better choices, because nothing in a relationship is ever one-sided. As long as there's two people in it, it can never always be just one person. It takes two people to make a relationship work, the same way as it takes two people when it fails. This is why I am a huge proponent of being by myself for a while after a relationship ends. I don't want to take on any ill feelings I have from that previous relationship or friendship into the new ones. I need to fully heal those parts of myself before I bring it to somebody else. I also need to see what I did that caused this certain relationship to fail. What part did I have in it? What could I have done differently? What could I have said differently? Could I have been more supportive? I mean, there's a million questions you could ask yourself anytime a relationship ends, but it's just taking the time to reflect on the things that you did or did not do that are going to help you grow. Now, this is not to say that you're going to feel sorry for yourself because, you know, maybe this person did something to you. Take for an example, maybe lying or infidelity. But looking at what I allowed in that relationship, which taught that person how to treat me. Because, you know, we get signs and symbols. We always get signs and symbols. But 99% of the time, we ignore that sign or symbol that we got as a one-off. Oh, they just did that. I didn't like it, but it won't happen again, and I'll just let it go. Instead of checking behavior at that point to let the person know, nah, that doesn't sit well with me, or I'm not cool with that. You let it go. So in their mind, it's okay to do it again. And then us on the receiving end, we don't check behavior again. And then when we finally do, because maybe it's happened over and over and over again, and then when we finally do check behavior, it's like falling on deaf ears because we never did anything about it before. So you see, we've taught this person how to treat us. We've taught them that this behavior is okay. So this brings me to my next point, which is judgments. Some people say we need judgments to be able to live in this world. How could I make decisions if I don't judge? Isn't that how we make decisions? Honestly, I never saw the difference between judging somebody and having an opinion until I read this. In an observation, we see, hear, and feel what is happening around us. We then state what we see. When we're judging something, we go one step further in the process of observation and add in a subjective evaluation. We label the event as either good or bad. It then becomes a quote-unquote value judgment. Placing a value judgment upon the event affects our decision-making process because the event now has a label and affects how we respond. When I tell you that was a game changer, because I always thought, you know, we shouldn't be judging people. Why are we judging what somebody's doing or what they're not doing? But if we don't have a good or bad proponent to it, it really is just an observation. And we have two eyes. We're going to observe everything going on in this world, correct? So how would this type of thinking apply to accepting yourself? So let's say you make an observation about yourself. I'm overweight. I don't make enough money. I don't know. Pick something. Let's go with the overweight one because that tends to be what every woman now on social media is so worried about. The BBLs and the breast jobs and all the Botox and all that stuff. It's all about what it looks like being overweight. So let's talk about that. You decide if it's a good or bad thing to be overweight. So for example, it's bad to be overweight in this society that we live in, according to social media. When we judge something about ourselves as bad, it becomes impossible to accept it. And then you're not okay with that part of yourself. However, it is possible to accept you being overweight because now you know you want to change it and perhaps work towards making improvements. So what if you were to drop your value judgments and simply just say something like, what is? Like, this is just what it is. And then identify what you want and why. It could totally transform your experience. It might lead to new discoveries about yourself. For example, being overweight is something that you have observed about yourself. Your pants don't fit the same. You have a muffin top, whatever it is. But you don't have to have any value judgment placed upon it. Like, it's a bad thing that you have this muffin top. That is what we describe as what is. Then identify how you would like for your body to look. This is what you want and why. Having established this, you are more able to move forward in a positive way as you're now aware of how you would like things to be and more accepting as to how they actually are. You're not beating yourself up, you know what I mean? Perhaps you would find a well of acceptance for yourself and others that you never knew existed just by changing this one train of thought. Perhaps you would notice the less you judge yourself, the less you're gonna judge others. And maybe the experience of acceptance would give you the solid foundation to move forward in creating yourself the life you want that is more satisfying, or even the body you want that is more satisfying. I know. Idea of actively seeking to attain self-knowledge and unpacking bags that you buried way in the back of the closet can be scary and super, super stressful, especially if you feel disconnected from yourself. But I have a process that's broken down into 4 easy steps, and it's a lot less scary and a lot more like solving a personal puzzle, if you will. So here are the 4 steps to actively attaining more self-knowledge. So the first one we're going to do, guys, is take a character inventory. Taking an inventory of your character is the first step. So you would ask yourself something like, what are my distinct mental and moral qualities? Are you quick to anger? Are you conservative? Do you love easily, or are you super guarded? Perhaps you're incredibly honest or dedicated to your spiritual beliefs. All these things contribute to your character. If you are not sure about the answers to these questions, examine your past experiences. You will find supporting examples that support these character traits amongst your lived experiences. Next, step 2, understand what you can do. Understanding what you can do is the next rung in the self-knowledge ladder. While you can always become more capable, having an honest grasp of your current capabilities is super, super, super critical to this experience. You don't want to be applying for your dream job knowing that you're unable to actually satisfy the role's requirements. No, If you possess a firm understanding of your strengths and weaknesses, it will allow you to leverage your abilities in such a way that you don't overextend yourself, which could lead to disappointments. Additionally, knowing where you are deficient in your abilities empowers you to proactively seek out the skills necessary to change that reality. Because now you know where your weak point is. Now you know what you need to work on to become better, to become that person that you want, to get that job that you deserve. Step 3, feel all the feelings, every last one of them. Being able to identify what and why you feel a certain way is an integral part of self-knowledge. But unfortunately, it could probably be the hardest part of all. Because our feelings are tricky. They give us a lot of information, but they aren't always warm and fuzzy. Spending time getting acquainted with what you feel about various parts of your life will give you a lot of data. Here again, lived experiences are a fertile ground for supporting evidence that can help you understand your feelings more clearly. For example, you may be confused about your feelings around applying to a particular job or school. To get clarity, think about how you feel in the moments associated with this decision. If you feel anxious and unsure every time you try to submit an application, then your feelings may be trying to signal you that this is not the best decision for you. Sometimes feelings give us data we don't want to accept, even though we know it's valid and it's true. The choice to integrate the information is always yours, because at the end of the day, you're the captain of the boat. You're the pilot. You are the head of your own life, and you need to make the decisions that are best for you. And then lastly, motivation matters. The final piece of the self-knowledge puzzle is to understand your motivations. The question becomes, why are you doing what you're doing? Common motivators are money, prestige, recognition, family obligations, freedom, and personal fulfillment. You may easily identify with one of these common motivators, or you may be motivated by something completely different, like a desire to save the planet or simply just to live a peaceful existence. Freedom, family, and an unshakable desire to help others are what motivate me. However, I want to warn you that the first thing that comes to mind when you think of what motivates you may not be the true source of your motivation. So, here's another example. Many think money is what motivates them, when in fact, it's a desire for stability. That's their true source of motivation. See the difference? Maybe you grew up in a one-parent household and the parent worked all the time and didn't have much money to go around, so you felt lack. Sometimes, maybe not the brand name clothes or shoes. And now in your life now, today, that's what you desire without having the lights cut off. So it's not actually money, but it's the stability of knowing that you're able to buy whatever you want, whenever you want. So I'm going to close with some final thoughts. So once you've taken the time to intentionally collect more data, you get to decide what to do with it. Will you integrate it and change your trajectory, or ignore it and continue on your current path? Whatever you choose to do will undoubtedly be informed by the information you learned about yourself from solving the self-knowledge puzzle. Inevitably, the self-knowledge you gained will help to create immense clarity on your life journey. When you're clear about your character, capabilities, feelings, and motivations, it is so much easier to create intentional strategies for an all-around successful life. It will also help you to know the people that you want around and that you don't want around in your energy and your space. Self-knowledge puts you on a fast track to success, while a lack of information can cause delays, distractions, and derailments. If you truly know yourself, you have a better chance of confidently achieving your goals in a timely manner. I hope you all got something from this, and I will talk to you all next week. Peace.
What's on your radar?
What's on my radar? What's on your radar?
What's on my radar? What's on your radar?
What's on my radar?
What's on your radar?
What's on my radar this week is the show P-Valley. Okay, now, this show ain't gonna be for everybody. I'm just gonna tell you right now. Some of the scenes in it are a little, like, vulgar. But the story is so good. It does come on Stars. And I think the night it comes on is Sunday. It just had episode three, last night. And I think I fell asleep on it. Not because it was bad, but because I was tired. But the show itself is good. It's in season two. It's set in a strip club, and it's just the woes and the ups and the downs of running a strip club and all the drama that goes on in it and when they're not on stage. So, yeah, check it out. It's called P-Valley, and if I said strip club, I'm guessing you can guess what the P stands for. So, yeah, check it out. P-Valley, it comes on Stars.
So what's on my radar is holotropic breathwork. This past weekend, I went to a meeting. Now, you guys know that, you know, about the ASEA that I've talked about. So I went to an ASEA meeting. I met some new people, you know, but after the meeting, there was some other people coming over to do like the breathwork. And I was like, oh my God, I've been wanting to do that. So, what I'm about to tell you, some of it may be TMI, but I don't care. You guys are family. I'm going to share it. So anyway, the guy explained that, you know, what can happen during this process. I needed to come home first because I needed to change into pants and stuff. So that's what I did. I came home after the meeting and then I went back. So once it started, so you breathe with your mouth open. This is how this person taught it. So there's a lot of different forms of breath work because I asked Marcy about it because she's done it before. But she did say there was a lot of different forms of breath work. So this one, you kept your mouth wide open. We were actually outside. And so at first, when I started doing it, my body was shaking, you know, and I was like, oh God. And it's like, it was hard for me to keep up with the breathing rhythm, you know? And then all of a sudden, it calmed down, like, you know, that part of it calmed down. But then my whole body started to tingle. It was like, it was crazy. It felt weird. But he did explain that that could happen, right? Everything was tingling. And down there below where the vajayjaya is, I know I told you guys TMI, a little bit of TMI, but your family, okay? That was tingling the most. So I was like, oh, shoot, there, you know. But this is the funny part. The whole time, you guys, I thought I was peeing on myself. And so I was clenching the whole time trying to like do this breath work and like it was crazy. And then I kind of relaxed, but it felt like I was peeing on myself, but I wasn't, because once we were done and we got up, I was dizzy. But that was normal because, you know, you're doing this. We did it for 1 hour. Okay. Doing this. Right. And basically it sounds like, like you go like, you know, and you breathe out. So it's in and out, but your mouth is wide open. Okay. Once, you know, that was done, I was like really dizzy and stuff. But I asked the girl that was next to me, I said, did I pee on my, because I told her, because she's done it like 5 times and that was her 6th time doing it. And I said, I felt like I peed on myself. She said, you probably did. But then I looked at her, I said, do I have pee on me? You know, I wasn't wet. So I knew that, okay, I didn't pee on myself. It was just what I was experiencing. But I think what the experiences was, actually, I know the experience was, had to do with my sacral chakra. There was something that needed to be released or it was blocked. So there was a blockage there. And, you know, that's why the tingling was stronger there than it was everywhere else, even though it was strong everywhere else. Okay. So I do want to do this again. I am going to do it again. Me, you know, Marcy talked about it. I asked her about going to the den, and she mentioned that her and one of our friends, Gina, had mentioned it about going back to the den. So I'm going to go with them when they go, because I want to see how that place does it. And you guys, it is an experience to do, because here's another thing I forgot to tell you guys. in this, a lot of people are crying because I had tears come out of my eyes and sometimes I was laughing. But all around you, people are like wailing and laughing and screaming, and because they're going there, there's a lot of issues that are coming up. So they're releasing those issues. They're getting them out. They're screaming. They're letting go. They're allowing their tribal, like that tribalness of you, to come out and just be free. And there is no judgment there. Like, they don't judge you. You know, you it's a safe place. So if you start crying and stuff, you just got to go with it and just allow it. Because sometimes, even if somebody was doing that, you might somehow tune in with them. And I don't know, but you know, everybody was saying different things after, you know, we had the little circle and we were talking about, you know, what happened with us and stuff like that. But all I know with me, I saw myself, you know how there's a stance where you lift your arms up into a Y? That's how I saw myself. And it was like, I am free. That's the feeling I got. So I know that you guys would enjoy that a lot. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's what was on my radar this week. Peace, you guys. Okay, y'all. The crystal of the week is jade. Jade associations. The chakras, heart. The zodiac, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, the element, earth. Typical colors, pale green to emerald green, creamy white, blue, lavender, mauve, and pink. Jade is a symbol of serenity and purity. It signifies wisdom gathered in tranquility. It increases love and nurturing, a protective stone. Jade keeps the wearer from harm and brings harmony. Jade attracts good luck and friendship. It stabilizes the personality and promotes self-efficiency. Soothes the mind, releasing negative thoughts. Stimulates ideas. A dream stone. Jade brings insightful dreams. It aids emotional release, especially of irritability. Jade encourages you to become who you really are. That's our crystal of the week.
As always, want to thank you for joining us this week for this episode of A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast. Yeah, we did it a little bit different this week, and we really want to hear your thoughts on it. Please hit us up on our social medias, and they would be as follows. We have A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast on Facebook. We have A Libra and a Gemini, the podcast on YouTube. We have A Libra and a Gemini on Instagram. And then our email, A Libra and a Gemini at the podcast at gmail.com. Then you also can check out some of me and Tracy's creations with crystal jewelry on A Libra. ALGthestore.com. That is ALGthestore.com. And then lastly, you can check me out on Insight Timer. My name is Marcy James, and you can follow me for all of my meditations. And if you're in the Ventura County area or you just want to come check your girl out, come see me at Soul Spring Oasis here in Thousand Oaks, California, where I do in-person meditations and we do a class on metaphysics. You can get all the information from my personal Instagram page, and that is MJBay. That is MJBEY, and the link is in the bio. Thank you for checking us out again, guys, and we will see you all next week. Peace.
We're a Libra and a Gemini.